Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Amgen, we had the pleasure of speaking with Alexander Spira, MD, PhD, FACP, a medical oncologist and director of the Virginia Cancer Specialists Research Institute and the Phase 1 trial program, to discuss the significance of data presented during the International Association for the Study of Lung Cancer 2020 World Conference on Lung Cancer with sotorasib in KRAS G12C mutant solid tumors. In our exclusive interview, Spira discussed the historical challenges of targeting KRAS, key findings from the Phase 2 CodeBreaK 100 trial with sotorasib in KRAS G12C mutant solid tumors, and the next steps of development for KRAS inhibitors in oncology. Could you discuss the incidence of KRAS mutations in non-small cell lung cancer and highlight some of the historical challenges in targeting KRAS, which was largely thought to be undruggable?
You hit the nail right on the head. So forever, KRAS mutations have been the undruggable target. And for years, we've had multiple failures. So there's obviously the new class of drugs of G12C inhibitors for KRAS, which is about 10 to 15% of lung cancer patients. You know, the number is a little bit variable, depending on how good you look at it. But they've been super promising. So, and obviously today we're talking about sotorasib, where the data, I mean, looks great. We've finally been able to drug this target. It's not perfect, and we can get to that in a second. But we've obviously, for the first time, have something that targets this mutation.
During the 2020 World Conference on Lung Cancer, we saw data from sotorasib and the CodeBreaK 100 trial. Could you discuss the mechanism of action of sotorasib?
Sotorasib is the G12C inhibitor. It is specific for the G12C mutation, and it is not a classic TKI as we think about osimertinib or other drugs, just in terms of its mechanism of action. We don't have to go into super details today how it works for that. So it's new. It's completely different than what's ever been done before and has clear evidence of activity for this mutation. So again, super excited about it. What's nice about it is that the responses appear to be real. They appear to be durable. And the toxicity of the drug is actually relatively modest.
Regarding the CodeBreaK 100 trial, could you speak to the design of the study and what patients were included?
So the CodeBreaK 100 study was initially really, you know, beginning of a phase one study that just got evolved over time. And it's a testament to our new pattern of drug development when you have a target. So it was an all-comer study, phase one, and then quickly changed over time and evolved into what was a second line study. So the formal analysis that's going to be done and is sitting at the FDA, as everybody knows, is looking at sotorasib in the second line pretreated setting, post-chemotherapy for patients that previously received standard chemotherapy. So a true second-line population.
What key findings were presented from the CodeBreaK 100 trial?
So bottom line is this part of the study was 960 milligrams PO daily for patients KRAS G12C mutated. How does it work? So the response rate was about 37%. So the take-home message is that it works. The stable disease rate was relatively high as well. So patients that didn't respond, the initial stable disease rate was 43%. So, you know, if you look at the clinical benefit rate and disease control rate, about 80% of patients. So what that means is that the drug does work. We got a little bit on our high horses because we were expecting RAD or MET or EGFR, where the response rates are higher. And that's one of a couple of reasons. One is it's second line, or two, it's not as good a drug as, you know, what we've traditionally been hoping for, right? I mean, we've gotten a little spoiled because you have a target and you have a target, you have a target, you have a drug, and we were expecting response rates that are phenomenal. And that was not the case here. Whether or not because the drug's not as good, this binds the GTP pocket, so it's a little bit different than a traditional TKI. Whatever the reason is, it's not what everybody was hoping for. Now, that being said, you had an undruggable target. A response rate of 37% and a disease control rate of 80% is phenomenal, right? So we had nothing, you have something, which we all think is great. Toxicities are relatively modest. You know, 70% almost of patients had some toxicity, majority being diarrhea, nausea, LFT abnormalities. Dose modifications and discontinuation rate was, you know, 7% of patients discontinued, 22% of patients had dose modification due to AEs, which is relatively mild. So the bottom line is we have a target that works.
Now, of course, sotorasib was granted a priority review designation from the FDA, so with this anticipated approval, what are the potential clinical implications of sotorasib entering the non-small cell lung cancer paradigm, and where do you really foresee it fitting in?
So I think we're all going to agree this should be used in the second line setting. I mean, the standard of care, second line treatment for non-small cell lung cancer stinks. So the bar is super low. So this response rate is great. It's an oral drug, much less side effects than the current standard of care, which is docetaxel therapy. So it works great. We're all excited. It will be approved in the second line setting. The real question is how does this fall in the first line, right? Should it be used off-label? And the answer is no, without good data. I'm sure some people will be given an off-label. Can you move it up to the frontline setting of clinical studies? Should it be combined with chemo? Should it be combined with a checkpoint inhibitor? And these studies are all going to be ongoing, right? So these are all important questions. For now, it should be confined to the second line setting, but these are all questions that should be answered. I still call it AMG-510. Sotorasib was approved and probably is going to be the quickest drug approved to date from phase one, first patient in to approval. Part of that is the data. Part of that is the undruggability of this. Part of that is the FDA is looking at it in new ways as well. So we're going to get more data. And as we figure this out over time, its exact role will be figured out in the next couple of years. But I think we're anticipating the next year or two that this is going to be, you know, the standard of care for second line treatment.
Are there other KRAS inhibitors in development that you'd like to highlight?
Adagrasib is another KRAS G12C inhibitor. And we've been involved in both these studies and it is on its tail. Sotorasib is whatever, 6 months ahead. You know, based upon what we know right now, there's no doubt that there's going to be an FDA approval for that in its future as well. The real question is, are they any different? The answer is nobody knows. There will be some that look at the data and say one is different than the other one is better than the different one. The preliminary World Lung data says that maybe adagrasib is a little bit better, but it has more side effects. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a little, you know, we're not supposed to do cross-trial comparisons, but people do. We think they're going to be about the same. And at the end of the day, they will be both good drugs with slightly different side effects profiles and honestly, dealer's choice. I think both companies are taking slightly different approaches now going forward. Adagrasib's Mirati's drug, MRTX849, people Google it after today's podcast. You know, both of them are doing a second-line confirmatory study versus docetaxel, had to be done. They're kind of taking an approach of maybe we should be looking in the first-line setting with PD-L inhibitors. AMG-510 is a single-agent study. Who knows how it's going to be approved, what the toxicity is going to be. Both going to be viable approaches. Both great questions to be asked.
Despite sotorasib and adagrasib moving through the paradigm, what challenges remain in targeting KRAS mutations? Are there limitations to these agents that need to be addressed?
You know, the criticism of these drugs is because it's a targeted therapy. The waterfall plot looks great. I'm pulling that up on my screen right now. But the response rates don't just seem to be as good as another TKI. So is that because it's in the second line, it'll be better in the first line? Or is it because it's a different small drug mentality and it's just not going to be the same? So where do we go from here? Will it be a better G12C inhibitor? Will it be combination with pembrolizumab or another checkpoint inhibitor? Will it be, you know, there's a whole class of drugs called SHP2 inhibitors. And SHP2 inhibitors are, I like to say, the drug of 2020 and 21. There's about five or six of them currently in the drug development. And should you be combining? Should you be combining with a progression or should you be combining with the outset? Clearly, when you start combining drugs, there's going to be more toxicity. We expect that. So how is it all going to play out? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. Will there just be a better G12C drug? The other cool thing is that the inspiration of this has really pushed drug development for other KRAS drugs. And I know KRAS has been the undruggable target, but perhaps it won't be for that much longer. So maybe there'll be these other targets. There's a bunch of clinical study, some specific for KRAS G12V, some pan-KRAS, some KRAS G12D drugs looking at combinations. I don't know, but it's really, you know, we know it's been undruggable, but this has kind of reinvigorated everybody to look in different ways than before. So there's a lot that's to be excited about. We know this is going to move the dial a lot. Both these drugs will be FDA approved. I mean, I can't see them not being approved. So we're very excited about them.
What is your recommendation regarding molecular testing for KRAS mutations in lung cancer?
You must test. You can't treat for a target if you don't test for that target. So you must test. That, I think, is the bottom line. So we need to be testing more. We need to be doing this more. And the only way you're going to be able to treat people with these drugs is by testing. I know both companies, Amgen and Mirati, are having their influence to try and get people to test because, you know, they want their drugs being used, but they both acknowledge that it's the right thing to do. And we've been saying this for years in the EGFR world and the rat world, and testing is still not where it should be. The data tells us that we're not doing a good enough job. So we must test more, test early and test often, being blood, being a tissue, must go ahead and do that.
Do you recommend getting concurrent tissue and liquid biopsy?
So I'm the kind of guy that says more information early and often is good because, you know, we have human beings that are patients waiting for this data. So with that in mind, I do both. Some people do, some people don't, and that's fine. I mean, testing something is better than nothing. You know, getting a 2 or 3 drug EGFR, ALK, and ROS panel is not good enough. So I'm a full NGS kind of a guy, and I'm also a full blood biopsy kind of a guy because I want the data and it's important to get this data as soon as we possibly can. Nothing is worse than either not testing, nothing is worse than keeping a patient waiting, and nothing is worse than starting a patient on chemotherapy when they could have had a targeted choice or enrolling on a clinical study. And the other thing is find a clinical study. We need to be doing better. We're outlining all these things. Clinical studies are hard to do. You know, we're trying now to do a KRAS G12C study in a first-line untreated patient. Think about how challenging that is to do. You have to identify the patient, get them started on a study in a short period. So, but we must do better. So getting patients on clinical studies is important.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Amgen. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.